when a person is at the point of giving up, actually giving in, what would it take to actually make a difference? And there's a phrase in the scripture which says that if you know the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you, that makes a difference to your life. And the important phrase there for me is, if you know that same power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. And the important part there is the knowing part. Because I'm really quite aware that there are some here, even today, this morning, listening, who are ready to give up on God. Such as where you've found yourself, you're actually at that point of discouragement and you've lost that crucial ingredient that you need. And so you found yourself in a place where you're ready to give up being a Christian. You don't actually know if you actually do believe. And what would it take for you to regain hope again? The important word this morning that I want to focus on as we head towards these first 14 verses in Ephesians is the word hope. And hope is such a power-giving word. Hope is an ingredient that you have which will enable you to keep going. But if you don't have hope that there can be a better day and a better way, then you will find yourself in the position where you just don't want to keep going. The word hopeless is one of the worst words in our language. To be hopeless, to have no hope. So you're in a difficult circumstance, you're dealing with difficult things, and you say, I have no hope. The situation is hopeless. That is the worst place to be in. It messes with your heart, it messes with your mind. And this morning, where we're going to end up this morning is that when the Holy Spirit is part of your life, when you sense the presence of God in your life, that is where hope will come from. So I want to encourage you for the next 20, 25 minutes to give me your attention and help me as I seek to share with you what I think it will take for you to have hope. And we're going to get to the point where I'm going to say to you, it's the Holy Spirit in your life, God's presence. To know that, to actually know that for yourself, that God is with you, that's what's going to give you hope. How you feel is important. Feelings are really important. And if you sense in the Holy Spirit, it's really important. Hope describes a state of mind about how you feel. Without hope, how do we keep going with life? And how do we keep living? For some this morning, you may very well be in a position where you've given up hope with God because you feel let down, disappointed, perhaps even angry. Give me 25 minutes as we look at the scripture this morning and let's get to that point where you might know and you might believe once again. We're looking for the next 2 months at Paul and the church in Ephesus. And that reading plan that Jess Abraham was talking about is more than a reading plan. It's actually a practice plan. And for every day of the week, Monday through to Friday, there's going to be a different reading or video or exercise or something that I'm going to encourage you all to do on that day. Because it's more than reading, it's knowing, it's practicing and putting things into place. There's videos. Later on, there's going to be song to listen to, an article to read. And it's going to be one for each day of the week. And I really would love you to give me your email address. If you've already got the church e-news, you're already there. But if you don't get our church e-news on a Friday, give us your email address and you will get this. And what I would love us to do is dive deeper, more than just reading a scripture, but looking at the overall picture about the Ephesus church and the Ephesians church. And what I really want you to feel like, if you are able to engage in what we're talking about over the next 2 months at church, you're going to come away from that. What I'm going to attempt to do, what we're going to attempt to do as a church, is give you a really deep picture of the Ephesian, of the book of Ephesians and the church in Ephesus. You're going to come away from that and you can have a little badge that you can, there's no badge, but you can have a little badge that you stick on your chest and it's going to say, I know stuff about Ephesians. And so I want to encourage you to be here every week, if you can, as we plow down deep into this book over the next 2 months. It's going to be really good. You're really going to enjoy it. Paul is going to present to us a vision of our position in the heavenly realms as believers. He's going to talk about the heavenly realms in this first chapter we're going to look at in a few moments. And that's quite important because that's all about who you worship and who you give worship to. The context of Ephesus as a city was a people whose the landscape of the city was dominated by who they worshipped. There was this temple in the middle of the city and it had 127 columns. It dominated the skyline. In fact, it was called one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And it was dedicated to the god Artemis. And you can read about that in the book of Acts. We might do that later on as we travel through. But basically, this temple worship of this god dominated their culture. It dominated their theology, how they thought about God, how they thought about their lives. And it also dominated their economy as well. So you may know the story. We will get there later on. But Paul basically comes to Ephesus. A whole bunch of people become Christians. And the whole city is in uproar because the people that have now become Christians now have a whole different view on what is really important. The culture, their economy, they're no longer buying the trinkets, they're no longer going up to the temple. Everything about their lives has changed. And so the traders and the whole city is in uproar because knowing Jesus has changed them in every way. And so as Paul writes this book to the Ephesians, he's up against this idol worship and he wants to confront it and he wants to deal with it. The first 14 verses of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at it in a moment, 1 to 14. 1, 2, 3 is basically an introduction, but the rest of it is actually one long sentence. It's one of the longest sentences. It may even be the longest sentence in the whole of the Bible. As Paul basically distills what the Christian story and what the Christian faith is, these verses we're going to read, it's almost like he's singing a song. He's singing a hymn of praise to God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones is this old English preacher, really well known. You can listen to his audio online. He basically says that this piece of scripture we're about to read is the distilling of the whole Christian faith, the whole Christian story. You know, when Paul writes the book of Romans, it's very comprehensive and he gives all these doctrines and theology and it's bit after bit after bit after bit. It's all there. Great. This passage in Ephesians is not so much that as him saying, look how amazing and incredible it is to be a believer, to be a Christian. And that word distilling that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones talked about, that interests me a lot. So when you make whiskey, everyone, oh, we're all listening now. When you make whiskey, what you do is you make a massive big batch of beer. And that's actually where whiskey comes from. And it's basically a low, it's about 7 or 8%. And you make a big batch of beer. Then you distill it down and you get rid of all the things you don't want. And you get the condensation and it comes down and you distill, you distill, you distill, you distill until finally you get the product you want, about 45%. It's the strong stuff. And there it is, a distilled product. Romans is like that big batch of beer, it's everything there. But this passage we're about to read, it's like the distilled, pure essence of what it means to be a Christian. And he sings this passage with joy in his heart as he talks about it. He's like, look at who we are and look at what we have. Isn't this amazing? He's giving us hope. And that's what he wants to put in your heart. And that's what I want to put in your heart this morning. I'm going to give you my 3 points before we even read the scripture this morning. And these are the 3 things I want you to take away this morning. You are part of the family. You are part of the family. You are holy and set apart. And we have the Holy Spirit to confirm this. The first two are really things that knowledge, really. But the third one is that important thing is we have the Holy Spirit to confirm this to us. So how do you have hope? You need the Spirit of God in your life to confirm these truths to you, that you will know and that you will have hope. So I'm going to read for you, and you can follow along. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And I want you to imagine, Paul is writing this in one long sentence. He's so excited, and he's so passionate about it. And it's like a song flowing out of his heart about what it means to be a believer. It's beautiful. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I just want to stop there before we launch off into the hymn and just say another thing that is interesting about Ephesians is that he doesn't mention anyone by name. You'll notice in a lot of the other letters that Paul writes, he names this person and he names that person. Perhaps this letter, Ephesians, was written to a group of churches that were all around the city of Ephesus. And perhaps it was a letter, in fact, it definitely was a letter, that was copied many times and sent to other different churches as well. It's not specific, it's more of a general letter. It applies to Christians all over the place. And can I say it applies to you? This letter actually has something to say to you. All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us, along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. Amen. You're part of the family. You're part of the family. This passage brings up those two doctrines, those two ideas, those two thoughts, which appear to be in conflict. They're like a paradox, but they're not. And the two equally true points are these, that God chose you to be a believer. God chose you to be part of his family. And equally true at the same time is that you need to choose to become a Christian. You need to choose God. God chose you in Christ because he wants you to be part of his family. But equally true is the fact you have chosen God. Now, I'm not going to try and solve this paradox that many have written volumes of books around, only to say the way I look at it perhaps is this. There is a door open, and there's an open door, and that door says, come, be a Christian, be part of God's family. And you walk through that door, and you become part of God's family. And as you look back on the door sill are these words, I chose you to be part of my family. If you are a believer, if you believe in Jesus, God has chosen you to be part of his family. You are chosen. Today is Father's Day, and I love the illustration that Janet gave at the communion time with all the pain and joy that brings. It is absolutely true that God is a good, good Father, that he hugs us. And I pray and sense in my mind that God loves and welcomes you into his family. The second thing is that we are holy and we are set apart. There are moments in our Christian life where we have messed up and where we have done the wrong thing and we continue to do the wrong thing. One of the funny things about some people is they have a perception that Christians are all perfect. But the truth is that every one of us knows that there are moments in our lives where we've messed up and where we feel really like we don't fit in and really almost like we're a traitor or we're a fake. God, in this passage, it makes it really clear that when he looks at us and when he sees us, in his eyes, we are holy and we are set apart. There was a funny story these last couple of weeks where there was this slightly chubby guy who walked onto the cricket field. Some of you may have seen this story. I've got a photo of him. He walked onto a cricket field and he was wearing all the right gear. Somehow or other, he'd managed to find himself an Indian cricket Guernsey and the pants and the shoes and everything else. And there he is standing in the middle of the pitch. And there's two other famous cricketers. I don't know their names. Someone would be able to tell us. And they're looking at him in bemusement. But he basically put on the gear of the Indian cricket team and strode onto the pitch really confidently. The umpire comes up to him and says, "What are you doing here, man?" And he points to the badge on his shirt saying, "I'm meant to be here. I'm a cricketer. And here I am. I'm on the field." And the two other cricketers that know that he's not part of the team are looking at him going, "You're not meant to be here. You got the right clothes on, but you haven't done the work. You're not a professional cricketer. What are you doing here?" I do wonder, have you ever felt that way? Like you've got the right clothes on, you've got the right gear, you've turned up, but in your heart, do you feel a bit like a fake? Like you don't belong? Like you're not actually part of the side? Devil is the accuser. He's called the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that whispers words into your ears that you don't belong, that you don't stack up, that you're not good enough. That's not a whisper from the Holy Spirit. God's voice doesn't sound that way. God's voice says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That really important phrase there, without fault in his eyes. How God sees you is loved and forgiven and without fault. Do you know you're a sinner? Do you know you continue to mess up? We all do. But how God sees you as part of his family and without fault in his eyes, that is how God sees you. Let's get this morning to how you feel. Let's get this morning to the bit about hope. In verse 13, the second part of verse 13 and verse 14. "And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us an inheritance he promised, that he purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him." You know, I can't convince you this morning with smart words. I can't convince you with a turn of phrase. But I've got a picture here that I want you to look at. Thank you. This is like a life jacket. If you're not aware, it's got a whistle. I was trying to think how I could illustrate this to you. You know, I put this life jacket on and I can feel it.
feel it around me. I could wrap it up and make it tight around my waist. And I want you to imagine, you know, that you're in a, you've fallen out of a boat, or you're in a boat in a rough sea, and you're going through life and you're thinking, how am I going to be safe? How do I know I'm going to be okay? How do I know that I have hope and things are going to work out? You know, this analogy breaks down and you could all find ways for it to break down, but there is some truth in it. That when you have the Holy Spirit in your life, it's like you can just sense God's presence. You can just feel that safety is there. That jacket is on you. If you fall out of the boat, you're going to be okay. If things go offline, you're going to be okay. The most compelling thing that we have, you know, if you've lost belief, if you're struggling with belief, the only thing I can say to you is you need to sense the Holy Spirit. You need to sense God's voice. You need to sense that God has something to say to you and for you. There is hope. It's the presence of God in your life. That reassurance, that comfort, that He's got you, that you are His. There is a truth that sometimes our faith feels irrational, and sometimes we wonder if things are going to work out. I was sitting in a cafe in Midland this week, finishing off my message on Friday morning, and I was just listening to the chatter of the people around me and the music and just writing these words. And I just felt, as I often do, and I'm sure many of you would say the same, I just felt the presence of God in a cafe in Midland. I felt this warmth. I felt this belief. I felt this strength. I just felt reassured once again that God was with me. And I want to encourage you, you can have that too. If you've never experienced that sense of God's presence, it's not for want of God not trying, because He came to earth. He died on the cross. He rose again. He said, I'm going to send my Spirit. It's not that He doesn't want to know you. He does want to know you. He does want to give you that reassurance. But there is something you need to do. To be honest with you, you need to surrender. You actually need to surrender. For some of you, there's a sense where you're still angry at God and you need to release God from that, that your life hasn't worked out the way you thought it would. And there's been things happen. And why do these things happen? If God's meant to love me, why am I in this position? To be honest, I can't answer all those questions, but I can say you do need to once again surrender. And believing in God does involve surrender. It involves being willing to trust God and believe in Him and reach out to Him. And I can tell you that when you do that, the presence of God comes. You sense the Holy Spirit in your life and He will speak to you. And if you'd like to do that this morning, I'm going to pray in a moment, and I'm not going to ask you to come forward, not going to ask you to raise your hands or anything like that. I actually just want you to surrender again to God in your seats. And whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you've never been a believer, I want you to pray along with me now this morning and just recommit your life to Jesus. Surrender again. Lord, today, in this moment, all of us together as people gathered in this church, having heard your word, having heard the challenge, Lord, we choose now in this moment to surrender to you. Lord, to say that you are God and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That you are our Heavenly Father. And Lord, we want to be part of your family. Lord, we accept, Lord, your forgiveness, your grace, that calls us holy and says that in your eyes, Lord, we are holy, set apart. Lord, we are sorry for those times when we have doubted you and, Lord, turned our face away from you, been angry and allowed ourselves to wallow in disbelief. So, Lord, once again, we surrender to you. And we invite your Holy Spirit to make his presence known, that we will feel the warmth and the hope and the joy and the love and the acceptance that he gives. I want to pray, Lord, for every person in this room now, that they will receive and know the gift of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that you will speak to us each one. We put aside all the arguments that we have previously mounted against you, Lord, and we accept you, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to know a bit more and you would like to just share, feel free to come talk to me after service or send me an email or whatever it is. Make sure you send me your email for this week as we start our Dive Deep program. Really encourage you to do that. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. And if you are a male and you are 18 years or over, we have got a special gift for you, which the welcome team is going to hand out. So I encourage you, all men, 18 years and over, whether you're a father or not, irrelevant, we've got a prize for you today. And we hope you enjoy that. Whatever you're doing this week, God bless you. Have a great week and we'll see you next week.